Welcome to Tairat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yehoshua, Perek Chav Beis, Chapter 22. Yehoshua now calls upon the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, and says to them, "You have kept everything that Moshe, the servant of Hashem, commanded you. And you have listened to my voice in everything that I have commanded you. Lo azavtem es acheichem. You have not left your brothers. Ze yomim rabim ad hayom hazeh. These many days to this day." The condition that Moshe had made with them was that they had to cross over and fight for land with the rest of the Bnei Yisrael before they could return to the other side of the Yarden, where they had chosen for their inheritance of land to be. They had kept to this. They stayed beyond the 7 years of fighting, remaining with the rest of the Bnei Yisrael for the 7 years of division of the land as well. After praising the commitment of these tribes, Yehoshua will now tell them to go to the portions of land they have been given on the east side of the Yarden. Yehoshua reiterates the message in humility that we have encountered time and time again in Sefer Yehoshua. Verse 4, Va'ato, hiniach Hashem Elokeichem la'acheichem. And now, Hashem your God has given rest to your brothers. Ka'asher diber lohem. As he spoke to them. Kli Yakar, quoted in the Sefer Mishpatzos Zohov, says that the text is saying here that they should not think that through their own strength was the land divided for the Bnei Yisrael, but rather know that it was Hashem who gave rest to the Jewish people. We are seeing this message of submission to Hashem being given at the end of a successful process of conquest and division, and simultaneously as a starting note on which to begin a new part of their life. The verse continues, Va'ato penu ulechu lachem l'ohalechem. And now turn and go to your tents, to your dwellings. El eretz achuzaschem, to the land of your possession, asher nosan lachem Moshe eved Hashem be'ever ha-yardin, which Moshe, the servant of Hashem, gave you on the other side of the Yarden. As Yehoshua tells them that it's time for them to go to their inherited land outside of Eretz Yisrael, we hear his parting message to them. A strong Torah leader loves his students and is not afraid to give clear, uncompromising direction. The path of Torah is always the right path. How we guide our students should not shy away from this. We just need to know who we are teaching and how to teach the individual, which requires siyata deshmaya, help from heaven, help from Hashem. May any one of us who is in any type of leadership position, whether it be that we are guiding one other person or many people, merit Hashem's help to remain humble before him, knowing we are emissaries. And may we merit to lead with love, selflessness, care about the growth of those we lead, the strength to speak truth, the wisdom to understand that Torah speaks for itself and needs no facade, and the insight to sense the approach to take with each individual. Yehoshua has drawn an acknowledgement of Hashem, told them to go to their land, and here is his beautiful guidance as they part. Words that should resound in the heart of every Jew, wherever he or she may tread. Verse 5. Rak shimru ma'oid la'asais es ha-mitzvah v'es ha-toyrah asher tziva eschem Moshe eved Hashem. Only be very careful to fulfill the commandment and the Torah which Moshe, the servant of Hashem, commanded you. Hold fast to Torah. These tribes were going to be separate from the rest of the Bnei Yisrael and outside of the Holy Land. Wherever you go, cling to Torah. Yehoshua continues giving them purposeful direction that they should be very careful la'ahavo es Hashem Elokeichem, to love Hashem your God, v'lo leches b'chol drachov, and to walk in all his ways, v'lishmar mitzvosav u'ledav kavoy, and to keep his commandments and cling to him, u'le'avdoi b'chol levavachem u'v'chol nafshachem, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. In Devarim chapter 11, Sforno comments on similar wording to what we find here in Yehoshua's guidance, that from recognizing the kindness of Hashem through delving in Torah, love of Hashem will follow. That we should emulate Hashem's ways going on paths of righteousness and justice. And that we should cling to him, meaning make his will our goal in everything we do. Profound, beautiful, real guidance, worth reading regularly to keep us on track as we journey through life. Verse 6, Vayavarchim Yehoshua, Vayishalchim Vayelchu el Ohalehem. And Yehoshua blessed them and sent them off, and they went to their tents. The Mincha Katana specifies that Yehoshua was blessing them that they be successful on their way. In verse 7, we are told about the half tribe of Manasseh, Vegam ki shilchom Yehoshua el ahalehem vayavarchim. And also, when Yehoshua dismissed them to their dwellings, he blessed them. The Mincha Katana reasons that since the tribe of Manasseh was split up, whereas all the other tribes were together with all their brothers and they could help one another, the half-tribe of Manasseh received an additional blessing from Yehoshua for their success. A number of other reasons for this additional blessing are also discussed in commentaries. Here is the blessing, verse 8. Binchosim rabim shuvu el ohaleichem. Return with much wealth to your dwellings. Uvamikne rav ma'od, and with very much cattle. Bechesef, Uva Zohov, Uva Nechoshes, Uva Varzel, Uva Slamois, Harbei Ma'oid, with silver and with gold and with copper and with iron and with very many garments. Chilku Shalal Aivechem im Acheichem, divide the spoils of your enemies with your brothers. So the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh depart. Malbim comments on verse 9, which details their departure, that Yehoshua called them to his city, Timnas Serach, on Mount Ephraim, and he sent them off from there. They then did not go directly to their portion on the other side of the Yarden, but they went first to Shiloh, which we learnt previously was where the Mishkan was set up. They went there to pray and to part properly from the rest of the Bnei Yisrael who were gathered there. These actions were testament to their intention in the next act mentioned in verse 10, not being to deviate from holiness and unity. They build a mizbeach, an altar, by the Yarden on the western side that is large, gadol lemareh, a great altar to look upon. Mahari Kara points out the significance of this language in showing us the function of the altar they build, that it is to serve as a symbol to future generations that the descendants of Reuven, Gad, and half Manasseh are connected to the land. They do not build the altar as a place for offerings. Remember, they are going over to dwell on the eastern side of the Yarden. They build the altar on the western side of the Yarden. As told in verse 11, the rest of the Bnei Yisrael hear about this, and their reaction is to assemble at Shiloh to go in war against those who have built the altar. Because, explains Rashi, high places were forbidden from the time of the establishment of the Mishkan in Shiloh. Altars for offerings became forbidden anywhere else. First, they send Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the Kohen, to approach the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half Manasseh. Malbim says this was to warn them. A representative of each tribe accompanies Pinchas. They confront Reuven, Gad, and half Manasseh about having turned away from Hashem and complain that Hashem's anger will be upon the whole of the Bnei Yisrael, as was the case with the sin of Achan, which we learnt about earlier on in Sefer Yehoshua. They continue, verse 19, V'ach im tameo eretz achuzaschem, however, if the land of your possession is impure, because, explains Rashi, Hashem did not choose to cause his presence to dwell there, Ivru lachem el eretz achuzas Hashem, asher shachan shom mishkan Hashem. Then cross yourselves over to the land of the possession of Hashem, in which Hashem's mishkan dwells. V'hei ochazu b'soycheinu, and take possession among us. Uva Hashem al timroidu, va'esonu al timroidu, v'vnoischem lachem mizbeach, mibaladei mizbach Hashem elaykenu. But do not rebel against Hashem, nor rebel against us in your building an altar other than the altar of Hashem our God. The response of the accused, starting from verse 22, is that they had no intention of rebelling, no intention of building an altar for offerings. Rather, they have built the altar out of concern, as they express in verse 24, saying, Machar yoimru v'nechem levoneinu leimar, ma lochem v'la Hashem alaykei Yisrael. In time to come, your children might speak to our children, saying, what have you to do with Hashem, God of Yisrael? Rashi explains that their motive in building the altar was their fear that in the future their children will be questioned regarding their connection to Hashem because they were separate from the rest of the Bnei Yisrael on the other side of the Yarden. They continue in verse 25 that this rejection may result in their own descendants not fearing Hashem. I think it's fascinating to note the recognition of this all too familiar tragic pattern. This is not a new phenomenon. If people feel rejected, this can lead to them rejecting the path of truth. Not always, and it's complex, but a reminder about how careful we have to be to make people feel accepted by us. It's so easy even to unintentionally reject through a careless word or gesture. The tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh explain that they built it as a witness to their being committed to service of Hashem so that their descendants won't be rejected. As noted by Rashi, it was to serve as a witness that they have not withdrawn themselves from the law of the altar. Therefore, as they say in verse 28, continuing to explain their motivation, V'noimer v'haya ki yoimru eilenu ve'el doreisenu machar, V'omarnu ru'u es tavnis mizbach Hashem, asher osu avoisenu, loy le'oyla v'loy le'zevach, ki eid hu beinenu uveinechem. Therefore we said, it will be, when we shall say, behold the replica of the altar of Hashem, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. Verse 29, Chalila lanu mimenu limroid b'Hashem, v'lashuv hayoim me'acharei Hashem livnois mizbeach l'oila l'mincha l'zovach milvad mizbach Hashem Elokeinu asher lifnei mishkanoi. Far be it from us that we should rebel against Hashem and turn away this day from following Hashem to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meal offerings, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of Hashem our God that is before his Mishkan. They are committed and have not rebelled. Pinchas and those with him are pleased with what they hear. Pinchas says in verse 31, today we know that Hashem is in our midst, that you did not commit this treachery. He reports back to the Bnei Yisrael, who are pleased and do not proceed with war. They bless Hashem, which Mitzudos David says is regarding that Hashem put it in their hearts to send an emissary before going to fight. Verse 34. Vayikra'u b'nei Reuven uv'nei Gad lamizbeach ki eid hu b'noisenu ki Hashem ha'elokim. And the children of Reuven and the children of God called to the altar, for it is a witness between us that Hashem is God. Radak says, they call the altar Aid, witness. The 2.5 tribes are departing to the other side of the Yarden physically, but are intent on remaining connected to their people and to Hashem. Thank you for studying together. L'Eloi Nishmas, Frida Bas Moshe Eliyahu.